We have problems. Life is full of it. One scripture said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. That's life. And it starts early in life. And as we walk through life, we find ourselves in different kinds of circumstances and different problems. So it's not something unusual when we have a problem, because it's really what happens to mankind, period. And so, but I'm so happy that God didn't leave us alone without some kind of defense against the enemy, against to help us in the time of trouble and in the time of stress and distress. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. But we have a way to fight. If we have trouble, we have a way to fight. Some people are fighters. If they got a problem, they're gonna fight their way through. But I believe God wants us to trust Him when we have problems. Not in ourselves, our strength, our abilities, our ways of thinking of things, but trust in Him. Did you get that scripture?
2 Corinthians 10 and 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
So, see, one of the ways we can use to fight against the things that come to us is through prayer. We read in Ephesians 6 and 10, it tells different things we can use to fight with. Doesn't mention prayer, but we find as we read in the scriptures that God has provided through prayer a way of our defense. I told this to the young people yesterday, and I'm going to tell it to you all. Yes, my aunt, my mother's sister, and her husband lived out kind of from Bowling. Not Bowling, Taft. Do you know where that is? Taft,
say,
Oklahoma?
Say
here. Taft.
Taft.
Mm-hmm.
Taft, yeah, I know what Taft is.
Well, they lived out there somewhere. They lived out there somewhere in the out. And my uncle had worked at a boys' home or something. Anyway, one day or whatever, I was married and I was living in Florida at the time, and we get the news. Somebody had broken in. I think they were trying to rob my uncle was in one room not feeling well, and my aunt was in another room not feeling well, and they went in there to rob my uncle. From what they tell, I don't know, I wasn't there. It seemed like he was trying to defend himself. But they killed my uncle, to rob him. Then my aunt, they go into her room, and when they did, I guess they were going to do probably the same thing to her. She began to pray out loud. And when she prayed, those guys, they roughed her up, but they would not kill her. And to me, that stayed in my mind as her defense. Prayer was her defense. She called on the living God, who is able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And so, to this day, it stays with me that if you get in a situation that looks like you cannot get out of, it looks dangerous. It looks, you can call on the Lord and he's able. Also, my aunt, my mother's aunt, her name was Aunt Hattie Douglas, I think is what her name was. She was going to lose her house. The bank was coming to get her house. And she, from what I understand, she was a woman of God. And so when the banker, whoever came to repossess her house, saw her, I'm not sure of all the details, but I'm sure she was praying. And no doubt that had an effect on him when he saw her. And I don't know whether she was singing or whether she was praying or whatever. He said, I can't do this. And he turned around and they did not take her house. And so with those instances of how God can come to our rescue, it helps us to see that no matter how serious our problem is, we can bring it to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to 2 Kings 18 and 29. We're going to look at Hezekiah. Hezekiah was in a very serious situation. So 18:29-35. But Hezekiah knew God, and he chose to pray to God. He had the living God on his side. We today, if we live right, we'll have the living God on our side, no matter what we deal with.
So 2 Kings 18:29.
Yeah.
Thus says the king, let thy Hezekiah see you, but he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria.
Keep going, all the way to 35.
Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the water of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of all olive and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah, when he persuaded you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sephapheth and Heliniva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand?
Okay.
Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?
Okay, so he's boasting. I conquered all these nations, and I have taken their gods and threw them in the fire, and none of those gods could deliver them. So what make you think that your God is going to deliver you. This is what he was saying. But let's go to 2 Kings 19, the next chapter, and start at 14. We're going to read 14 to 19.
And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear upon her, and hear open, Lord, thine eyes, and see and hear the words of
Sennacherib,
which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their land, and have cut their gods into fire, and cast their gods into fire. For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord God, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of this hand, out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only.
So you see, when he got this message, this letter, he could have said, well, you know what? I'm going to get me my soldiers, my all my men together, and my horses and my whatever they had to fight with, and we're going to fight him. We're not going to give in. But he didn't do that. He took that letter, went into the house of the Lord, laid it before the Lord, and prayed. And he told the Lord, yes, he did. He conquered all these nations. They threw their gods in the fire. But they weren't no god. They were the work of men's hand. They were idol gods. But we are serving you, Lord. We are serving the living God. Today, we need to realize that we serve, when we live for God, the living God. And so he had confidence. But he asked the Lord, he prayed. He didn't just say, well, the Lord will take care of us. But he prayed. He took the weapon of prayer as his defense against this king that had just gone against all these nations. Let's go skip down to verse 32 and read 32 to 37. Let's see what happened as a result of his prayers.
Therefore, thus said the Lord concerning the king of Syria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with his shield, nor cast a bank against it, shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend the city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Syrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
36.
So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh.
37.
And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nishrach, his god, that Adrammelech and Shinarach, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of the town of Armenia, and Asenath, his son, reigned in his stead.
This man not only lost his whole army because God smote them, they were all dead corpse. But he also lost his life. When he left, he went back. Like God said, he was going to go back the way he came. But then he went into the house of his idol God and was worshiping, and his own son killed him. So we see how God can deliver with a mighty deliverance if we trust him and if we pray. And we have really so many examples in the Bible of how God heard and answered prayer, how he, through prayer, he delivered his people. We want to look at another example. 2 Kings, let's go to 6 and 14 and 17. Same book, 2 Kings, but the 6th chapter, verse 14.
2 Kings 6 and 14. Therefore send ye thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed by the city.
Okay, stop just a minute. I need to give you some background. This is Elisha. You remember in Vacation Bible School how we talked about the this king wanted to fight against Israel, and every time he got ready to fight against Israel, Israel had escaped. They knew where he was going. And so he asked them, he said to his people, he said, which one of you are like for the king of Israel? Which one of you? In other words, who's telling what we're getting ready to do? And the man said, none of us, Lord, but there is a prophet, and he tells the king of Assyria what you said in your bedchamber. You know how he did that. God was telling the prophet what the king was planning to do. So he decided he's going to take care of this prophet. He found out where he was, and he surrounded the city that the prophet was in. And that's where we start this. So that's what's happening in verse 14.
And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and with servants. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
God has sent those horses and chariots of fire. They surrounded the city, but in the mountains, God surrounded them with horses and chariots of fire. And let's read on and see what happened.
And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria.
Okay, stop. So Elisha prayed that God would blind them, and he did. They didn't know which way they were going. So he took them they were trying to get Elisha, but he said, this is not the way. And so what the end of the story was, that he took them all the way to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel asked, should we kill him? And he said, no. Why would you kill somebody that you didn't, you didn't conquer, you didn't get? He said, feed him. He fed those men. I guess the Lord gave them their eyesight. He fed them. And they went home, and they never bothered him again. You see how God can work in ways that many times we would never think of. Who would think of that? But God supplied the need there. Then Elisha prayed later on for rain, but we'll go on. Let's go now to Exodus 14. And we're going to read 13 and 16. This is another example of how God delivers.
Exodus what?
14, verse 13 to 16. Oh, if we could just know that nothing is too hard for God. He's able to work in ways that we don't even know. He's such a powerful God. But he gives us a tool to work with. And that tool is prayer.
Okay. Exodus chapter 15.
14. Chapter 14.
Chapter 14.
Verse 13 to 16.
And Moses said unto the people, fear thou, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Okay, stop just a minute. This problem, see, we would take a lot of time if we read all of what happened. But in this case, the Israelites have been, they've been able to flee from Egypt. They've been able to go from Egypt. But the Egyptians decided after they kind of let them go, they wanted them back. So they went, you know, trying to get them. Well, here we go. Here we have the Israelites. They face the Red Sea. Behind them are the Egyptians. It looks like that they're going to be destroyed. And in fact, I believe prior to this, they said, were there no graves in Egypt? In other words, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. But this is what Moses told them.
And Moses said to the people, fear not, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cryest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up the rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea.
Okay, stop right there. So the Lord told Moses, why cryest unto me? In other words, Moses, no doubt he was praying, asking the Lord, look where we at. Look what's happening. But he said, speak unto them. He gave them a way out. And he said, speak unto them that they go forward. And he told them to stretch forth his rod and over the sea and divide it. And this did. He did it. He stretched forth his rod over the sea. The waters, the winds came and divided the water all night. He put, pillow of cloud between them and the Egyptians. So then in the morning, let's go down to verse 21.
And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided.
Keep going.
And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the house of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the clouds, and troubled the house of the Egyptians. And they took off their chariots, wheels that dragged them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned, and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, that there remained not so much as one of them.
Okay, so you see, God delivered them, didn't he? So we can know, do you believe that the God that delivered them through the waters no longer can do it anymore? I would tell you, nay, he has the same power today that he had then. So I tell this little story about Honduras for me. That time when we went through the ferry, coming back from La Ceiba, going to Roatan, and we met some really bad weather. Don't worry, you won't have to do that. It was so bad till it was choppy, and the ferry would go up off the water and come down and hit the water. You could hear it when it hit the water like that. And then we'd go up and then hit the water like that. I tell you, the Lord blessed us. I said to the Lord, I got hold to one of the benches, the seats up front of me, I think, and mine, to hold steady. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you promised to go with us through the water. And he did. And when we all got off of that ferry, everybody was shook up. But the Lord kept me. As much as I have motion sickness, he did not allow me to have motion sickness. I never got sick of the stomach. I didn't have a headache. I didn't have nothing. And then I was talking about going back. And one of the young sisters said, and Sister Clay wants to go back. She couldn't figure it out. But God can go with us through the water, no matter what, just like he did then. He can do it again. So let's go on now. Let's see that God cares. He has great power. He's able to do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. And I want us to think about the promise. The Lord gives us promises. Let's go to James 5:13-17. He's just the same today. He could do the same things he did back in the Old Testament time, back in the New Testament time. He can do it again.
James
5:13-17. This is what we have in the scriptures to help us when we need his help.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. See, we have a privilege. If we're sick, and this said, if you're afflicted, it said, if you're sick, we can pray. We can pray, and we can call for prayer when we're sick. I tell you, I was telling somebody when we were in Washington, I think, was it in Washington, or in the anyway, at the one of the places, this man was saying how he had headaches. I used to have migraine headaches. I know what it's like to have a migraine headache. Do you know the Lord has healed me from that? We can expect healing. We can actually ask him. We need to have faith in God though, when we ask him, we need to believe. He's fully able to answer our prayers. Let's go to Matthew 7:7.
Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Ask, and it shall be given you. If you believe in God, we can ask him, and he'll give it to us. We can seek him. Sometimes our problem may not be sickness, and maybe we need some understanding what to do about things. Knock. Maybe we need to knock and ask the Lord, please work this out or whatever. Ask, seek, knock. It shall be given to us. But we need to believe. It is important for us to believe God, for he is fully able to work out our problem. Let's go to Matthew 21:22.
And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive.
Do you believe that? Let us get it in our heart. We memorize these scriptures. We read them. But they are for us to believe them, for us to stand on. Ask. And whatever we ask, believe it, we shall receive.
Mark 11:24. Therefore I tell you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Yes. If you desire it, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now I want us to look at and go back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 1:16, because I want us to realize that God cares about the things that bother us or that we care about. Sometimes we may not have certain things and we want them or we need them. We can ask the Lord and he'll give it to us. This is Hannah. In this scripture, Hannah had no children. And I think that in that day, it was kind of like, I don't know. If people looked down on you if you didn't have children. Here's Hannah. I think her husband had two wives or wives and concubines, I don't know. And she would feel bad. She didn't have no children. But the other one did. And he told her, I think it was, am I worth more to you than, what, 7 sons? But she had that desire to have a child. And she was really burdened about it.
And her adversary also provoked her, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut her up her womb. And he did that, as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Anna, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?
Okay.
So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And bowed and bowed, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forsake thy handmaid, but forgive unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, all her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. He had been drunken. And Eli said to her, How long wilt thou be drunkard? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my compliance and grief I have spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
So you see what happened? She was so burdened, and she was just, she wasn't drunk or anything, but she was praying to the Lord in earnestness, desiring the Lord to give her a child. And the priest thought she was drinking, but she said, no, don't even consider me like one of the wicked women. But she was a child of God. And she poured out her heart to the Lord. And the Lord heard her prayer and gave her her desire. I think about that, my experience. I was single and I wanted a child. I wanted children. I wanted a husband. I was single. And I was in Dallas. I was there doing missionary work. I got on my knees and I prayed and I said, Lord, and I told him, I want a husband. I want children. And the Lord spoke to me and he let me know. He said, you're going to marry somebody with children. And so that's what happened. But he gave me my desire. I thought at the time that meant I wouldn't have children. I'll just have some. But the Lord did more than that. And he gave me somebody that had children, plus he gave me children. I'm telling you, we can depend on the Lord for the things that we even desire in our heart if we live right. One scripture does say that if we ask according to his will, well, the Lord let me know it was his will and he worked it out. Let's go to Luke 18:1-8.
And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me.
Do you see what happened? And I think that, go on to the next verse, because it tells about God avenging us.
And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he fare long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
So he wants us to believe. And sometimes we might have to go to him more than one time. But it's okay. Don't give up. Continue to pray and knock and seek. And the Lord will answer our prayer. Philippians 4, verses 6-7. I'll read that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we learn to pray and to trust in him and to believe in him, he will give us great peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the things that looks like no way out. And let's go to the last scripture, 1 Peter 5 and 7.
1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
So let's be encouraged. We have a God that cares for us, and he will answer prayer. Pray for me.